Hello, world. I'm Greg Batten. How are you? Special edition of Hello, World. Greg Batten's traveling salvation show somewhere in America today. We put together several programs of things that are, I believe, of interest to you, to the Christian period. And that's what you're going to be hearing on these special edition programs of Hello, World. Want to remind you that we have our book available at InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. That's InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. So excited the impact that this book is having with people all over the world. It's made it to the mission field. People are buying extra copies, sometimes a dozen of them, to get out to family and friends. All these years, Dr. Ken Copley, my colleague, who've been doing so much work in this area, we have spent 80 years in spiritual warfare. You need to get a copy of this book, InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. It's available there. Dr. Copley and I putting together a program that should be coming soon to Fort Wayne, Indiana, reference to spiritual warfare and how to help people who have a problem with yourself or others, family members and friends. Every church has some problems, some very serious. We just haven't addressed it. Just as Paul said that Satan hindered us, stopped us from getting to you, it's no different today. My friend, you need to know what's happening in the spirit world and how Satan can affect your life, your family, those that you love. InvisibleWarOfTheSaints.com, and that'll be coming up before too long. You'll be seeing about some seminars we're having in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for spiritual warfare. Grab a friend, come to Fort Wayne, and join us when you hear about that. Again, we're so grateful to Southwest Radio Church, the opportunity to get around the country and speak the Word of God, preaching the message, whether it's the New America, flood of evil, whether it's spiritual warfare, strongholds that get into the life of the Christian. Very grateful to Southwest Radio Church and the ministry, allowing us to join them all over the country on a continual basis, sharing the Word of God. And before we get into the program, are you saved today? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, the Bible says so. Today is the day of salvation. Why not turn your life over to Christ today? This is it. This is the day the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. I think I got it. I've been thinking about this a lot. Why do elderly Americans support Donald Trump? Huh? Because they grew up in a free America, and they would like to see that same thing happen for their grandkids. This is a crazy, mixed-up world. I do not understand what's happening in the United States of America. I know I'm playing and beating on that same drum that I have done now for months and months and months, and I'm not going to let up. It's unbelievable what's happening to this country. It really is. Do not understand it. And I've always felt kind of good about being on target in so many areas and up to date with things, working in radio news and television news and all of that. Sure, but it is so confusing. I'm telling you, the homosexual agenda is just being pushed about anything you want to see, from television programs to commercials. There they are. Two girls together, two guys together. What in the world is going on? And then the other night, caught a bit of Hawaii 5-0, and it just struck me. They were investigating this 15-year-old girl who is a homosexual lesbian, and mom and dad wanted to send her to a Christian camp somewhere out in Idaho or Colorado, and man, what a furor. The entire cast there, the Hawaii 5-0 police team, say, who do you think you are, mom and dad, telling this girl what she can and cannot be? Oh, I'm telling you, it is an absolutely sick society led by the left-leaning media. Let me ask you today, do you know where you stand? What are we talking about? Woodrow Wilson once said, "A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do." Who was America yesterday? Abraham Lincoln believed that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. That's Bible. In 1811, our Supreme Court stated, "Whatever strikes at the root of Christianity tends to destroy civil government." That same body later concluded,
Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based on and include the teachings of the Redeemer. Now, when you think of all the nonsense going on today, let me pause here. Who is the author of confusion? As a Christian, you're being targeted. You are wrong. We've got to include the teachings of God. We've traveled a long way since then, and our past has been essentially forgotten, unfortunately. But it's no accident that we are where we are today. We do not merely drift to this place of moral confusion. You don't just kind of slip and fall into the... No, no. We have been led here by indifference, by those that hate God, by the cowardice of Christians in the face of evil today. In truth, until the dawn of the 20th century, America collectively believed that she was founded upon Christian principles. Sure, we did. That's been stolen from us, or maybe we've just given it away. But the 1900s brought an onslaught against our faith that has shaken this country's foundation to the core to this very year. In 1920, John Dewey, the father of progressive education, declared, "There is no God and there is no soul. There's no absolute moral code existing today, and therefore man must adjust his ethical standards according to his own judgment." His words eerily echo those written earlier by people living in the darkest ages of Israel's history. Read Judges chapter 7. Hey, here, look at verse 6. "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man," we've arrived here again, "every man did what was right in his own eyes." Isn't that shocking? Back then, the year I was born, in 1947, Justice Hugo Black erroneously interpreted Thomas Jefferson's letter assuring the Danbury Baptist Association that government would not institute a state religion. And this kind of created a wall of separation between church and state that has purged Christianity from virtually all civil influence in the world today, and that's a big problem. Ignore God and His Word to your own demise. Isn't that correct, Christian? In 1962, the Supreme Court removed prayer and scripture from the public schools, stating that Bible reading in schools could cause psychological damage to the students. And next, the Ten Commandments were stripped from the public square. We've watched this debate go on for the last couple of decades and see it removed from here and there and everywhere. Without evidence to convict us of God's presence in our lives, it's very easy to ignore the commands of today. How ridiculous the world has become. In many instances, how ridiculous the church has become today. Abortion, pornography, homosexual marriage. Everywhere you want to turn, my friend, God is being diminished without our consent. His very existence is being erased from our midst, trying to do away with God. America's greatest enemy does not lie outside of our borders. In the past, and even today, when I preach my media messages, that is the clue right there. It's not from without the enemy comes, it's from within. We are destroyed from within. Our complacency is destroying the United States of America. It is tempting when confronted by a formidable and determined foe, and there are many, to retreat from battle. "I'm just tired of it. I'm going to quit." After all, what difference can one person make in the world today? For too long, God's people have not cared about our spiritual legacy. As Christians, we have a definite responsibility to reclaim our heritage and reestablish the foundations God ordained. We are commanded to be the salt and the light. Yep, He commands that for each one of us. How you doing? My friend, you know that freedom in Jesus Christ is a choice, and often we have old feelings of inadequacy and inferiority that we unwittingly carry over into our new relationship with God. He wants to cut us loose from the bondage created by a sense that we do not deserve any blessings today. However, we must choose freedom, just as we chose to receive Jesus Christ. We cannot drift. Like that word, we cannot drift into freedom any more than we can drift into salvation. or drift into evil, as we just talked about. The choice to be liberated from satanic enslavement begins a process that changes our way of thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Make no mistake, embracing freedom will incur great pressure from Satan. Though he cannot steal our salvation, he certainly wants to ruin your witness by crystallizing any feelings of inadequacy in you. The first step after committing to freedom is abiding in the Scriptures. We meditate on God's Word to understand what He says and apply what we learn. That requires more than a quick reading and a busy schedule and a busy day. And secondly, we want to be confident of biblical truth, which clearly defines our position as a child of God. As that certainty fills your thoughts, your mind, your soul, Satan's lies there about your inferiority is going to shatter like a piece of glass. And finally, we can claim the truth that we have gleaned here. When we are confronted by situations that shake our confidence, we can rely upon new thought patterns based upon the Word of God. God declares that we reject thoughts of inferiority and replace them with the accurate self-image described in the Scripture. As His servant, as His ambassador, go for it. That's knowing the truth and choosing to live by it. You know, only God knows the depth of love that you have for Him. He said of King David, "He is a man after my own heart." Isn't that some declaration? Acts 13:22. Yet we know that David was a man of war. He lied. He had a man murdered. And on at least one occasion committed adultery. How could God love such a man? Have you ever thought about it? I have many times. Better yet, how could God allow this man to rule over a nation like Israel? The answer is wrapped up in just one word, and we need to hear it more. It's called grace. Not ordinary grace, but God's grace, which is something we cannot earn on our personal merits. And despite his failures, David had a passionate love for the Lord. He could not help but love the one who gave him life and offered forgiveness for his sin. Though he failed many times, the desire of his heart was to love and obey God. And it was this love that both propelled King David to greatness and allowed him to petition his heavenly Father when he was utterly undeserving. Great message, right? Jesus said, "The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." John 6:37. You ought to do that this Friday. For all eternity, God's love and patience has been fixed on you. No matter what you are or where you have been, his love reaches out to you. If you accept him as Savior today, realizing that his atoning death paid the full debt of all of your sin ever, you can be saved today. The passionate love of God will fill your heart, and you will receive the greatest gift of hope this world has ever known. On just about every program, we talk about the new America. What does that mean? Not the one you and I grew up in. If you're over 40, I'm talking about the changes that have come about in just the last few years. It is unbelievable, my friend. It is a new America. It is not the America you grew up in. Here's a small part of what I'm talking about. New America, new world. So can we say that they are opposing God? Duh. Two mothers in Dallas, Texas, were able to both carry their baby using a new method of vitro and fertilization. The two Texas mothers each carried their miracle baby because of a medical advance that allowed them to do what they thought was otherwise impossible. Ashley Coulter, 28, Bliss Coulter, 36, met 6 years ago, fell in love, were married. The couple who desired a baby knew that welcoming their own biological child would require a sperm donor and some creativity, and somehow they've gotten around this. It is a long, convoluted, confusing story. Obviously, us being women, we were like, how can we make this baby happen? We felt there has to be a way. Just the thought of it's crazy. But then, again, it's the new America. Hello, world. Comes your way each day at this time, through the kindness of this Christian radio station, The Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Greg Patton Ministries. And we couldn't do it without you and your support, telling others about the broadcast, friending us on Facebook. Many of you, especially in the Tri-City area of Tennessee, doing just that. We say thank you very much. And for those of you providing funds on a monthly basis, oh, you're special. We need you. Greg Patton Ministries, preaching the Word of God coast to coast and around the world. Love to talk to you in your church. Oh, yeah. Get in touch. GregPatton.com. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. GregPatton.com. I need a revival and spiritual renewal for the church, a revival, or for you individually. You can have one, you know. The lessons of history are to serve us as we will observe and learn. Revivals and renewals bear striking similarities from the Old Testament to today. We understand there's one going on down in Tennessee, 22 weeks, 7 days a week. That's the real thing, I think. Acts 4:23 through 37 and Colossians chapter 3. Hey, you know, Scripture shows us God's people, you and I, go through periods of spiritual renewal. Sure we do. And periods of spiritual decline. We might think of these times like waves, troughs, mountains, and valleys in life. That's your history. You're not high all the time. You're not in the pit all the time. Try to stay down the middle. Pretty hard to do. During a renewal, during an awakening, there will not only be a great reviving of Christians, but also a large impact on the problems of society today. I think we're seeing it politically. How did this guy get in the White House, and how's he doing so many things for the conservative, for the Christian especially? The renewal can last for many years, as did the second Great Awakening in America, or it can be rather brief, as it was in the Third Awakening in the late 1850s. You know, when the winds of renewal have passed, the church may enter a period of lethargy, possibly going on for many years, and those cycles have already been repeated many times during the 2,000 years of our church history. It's not only that the Spirit of God cannot sustain the higher life for the Christian. Rather, now get this, the Spirit allows times of decline to cause His people to pray for growth and for power to get our attention. Back in the Old Testament, renewal came to the Israelites under King Jehoash in 2 Kings 11 and 12, King Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, King Asa, 2 Chronicles 15, and especially under King Josiah, that 8-year-old king. That is an amazing story. I've preached it many times from 2 Kings 22 and 23. Awakening came at the time of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, during the return there from exile in Babylon. Read Ezra 5 and 6. And, of course, Nehemiah, another great portion of encouragement for all of us. Nehemiah 8, 9, 13, the governor of Judea and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. In New Testament times, awakening came upon God's people at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, we read yesterday, the pouring out of the Spirit set a pattern that we'll see in later awakenings. You read of a renewal that prepared the infant church for the fierce persecutions that were going to come. Spiritual awakenings, whether in biblical or church history, manifest patterns that are very similar, often strikingly so. And we're going to talk about five big things that you can notice in a revival and making the church great again. But before that, I thought we would do a little test. Do you live your life with this attitude, if it's good for me, then it's good? Is your life even 1% error? I often say that Satan doesn't care if you're 99% biblical as long as you give him 1%. Now, that's kind of scary. Is your spiritual life today in neutral? God wants victors, not victims. He wants overcomers, not those that are overwhelmed. Troubleshooting your Christian life, how you doing in that walk? Here's a couple of questions that might determine that. Do I constantly rely on Almighty God? Do you really, or is it only in times of trouble and heartache? Am I working hard at pleasing Almighty God? That's a great question for every Christian listening today. Do I really want to obey Jesus Christ? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly as the Lord commands and doing it angrily or happily, obeying Christ. Am I learning anything from the Bible? You should every day. What did you get out of the Word today as an example? What did you hear from God on Sunday at your church or Sunday school lesson? Do I put into practice then what I learn? Am I applying it? I ask my church that at the invitation every Sunday. You going to do it this week? Something that God spoke to your heart about? You going to do anything with it, or is it the same old, same old? Have I given up in some areas of my life? Am I building aspects of God's character into my life? Am I a good disciple, in other words? Do I have a love for my fellow believers, those people that sit with me in church? We talk constantly about the big five for a Christian: reading your Bible daily, praying daily, serving God somehow daily, fellowshipping, loving my fellow believers, and being in church on Sunday. Am I willing to? Oh, this is so hard for me. Am I willing to love my enemies? Let's think about that one. God said we're supposed to, and I oftentimes say I have other thoughts for my enemies, and loving isn't in the equation. Yeah, it just shows the flesh is really strong there yet. Am I combating the flesh, the world system, lust of the flesh, the pride of life? How are you doing in the troubleshooting here? One more. Am I resisting Satan and his demons in the power of the Holy Spirit? God doesn't want you to sink. Oh, no. He wants you to soar, my Christian friend. So the question remains, how are you doing? So, you think it's true? I've witnessed it. That revival will come, preceded by a time of spiritual depression, apathy, gross sin, in which a majority of nominal Christians are hardly different from the members of society in the New America, and the church seems to be asleep. One of the things that fascinated me in the evangelical awakening led by John Wesley and George Whitfield aroused the English conscience, and by direct political pressure and action, cured many of the ills of society at that time. This is a fascinating time to live. We need a revival, individually and collectively, don't you think? Well, hello world, for another day. We'll be live back on the air tomorrow. I want to say again, after a few days there at WHCB and their studios, 91.5 in Tri-Cities, Tennessee, and fellowshipping with the staff and those who came in to volunteer, what a wonderful time it was. And again, those churches that were so generous to open their pulpits and allow us to come minister the Word of God, I just love it. I really do. And I want you to know that I truly appreciate all the kindnesses exhibited and expressed to Sharon and I. I appreciate the people who check in on me now and then. And I appreciate, again, a quick message now and then. And those who ask if everything is okay and you're praying for me, and some folks send money. And I mean, just all kinds of wonderful expressions of love for God and His servant. I appreciate every single person in my life who has tried to brighten my day in some way. And again, I experienced that in the last several days in Tri-Cities and down in Elizabethton and up in Johnson City there. It really is, as you think about it in life, it's the little things that matter most. I guess now that I'm getting older, I've come to really recognize and appreciate things in the past that you just kind of take for granted. And I've said so many times, isn't it true? You don't miss the water till the well goes dry. You don't miss that husband, that spouse, those kids, that good friend, a fellow church member. You don't miss them until they're gone. Something to really pray about. Again, I've loved the ministry in the area of evangelism and being a revivalist for so many years around the country. I just got excited to be a part of all of the activities, the radio station and the churches. So I again say thank you so very much. If you have been with us, this is Hello World News, information, and comment. Normally at this time, we're heard every day, Monday through Friday, right here. And again, grateful to the radio stations that carry it. Tell your friends around the world, whcbradio.com. You can listen live. And you can go to gregpatton.com and click on iTunes there and get programs from last month and last year. Yes, you can. Thank you so much for participating.
Join us on Facebook, Greg, Jerry G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Have yourself a great day, and God bless.